are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" "No." "Well, come on, tell us, who are you? We need an answer for those who've sent us. Who do you say that you are?" Thus begins this intriguing exchange between John the Baptist and the priest and the Levites who've been sent from Jerusalem to check out who he was. Who was this person doing these strange baptizing things up in the Jordan? And the way that John deals with his inquisitors and the answers that he gives tells us a lot about one of the most pressing and topical issues of our time. John speaks into the question of our identities. Who are we as individuals in this vast and complex world? How might we define and identify ourselves? In this year's Edinburgh Book Festival, they took as their theme the subject of freedom. And there was published a series of essays which explored what freedom means in the 21st century. And one of the essays considered the question of identity and asked, "Who am I? What is it that determines our own unique personality and individuality? To what extent are we simply the construct of other people's expectations?" John was asked by his inquisitors, "Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?" And to what extent can we define our own borders and our own independence? Well, the writer of that essay suggested that in this era of digital revolution, when the tech giants know so much about us, they own so much information about us, this is the real battleground of today, the fight for one's own personal identity. Are we able to maintain our own individual identities, or do we become the people who are simply categorized and hemmed in by all the decisions that we make online, the purchases that we make, the information that we seek, the websites that we visit, all of the activity that we undertake on the internet? So what does John the Baptist have to contribute to these lifelong questions of who we are? Well, his answers are instructive in the way that they do not focus on him. No, they focus on the one about whom he was to testify, Jesus Christ. And John adopts the words of the prophet Isaiah that we heard read. He says that he's the voice crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. John's role was to point to Jesus. Make straight the way of the Lord is a call to get ready for the coming Messiah. It's like a picture of clearing out the weeds and the undergrowth, making everything clear so that the rubbish is gone and the highway through the desert can be laid. Earlier this year, Margaret and I went to Provence, and whilst we were there, I went up Mount Ventoux, which is one of the most feared and challenging climbs on the Tour de France. And no, I wasn't on a bicycle, I was in the back of a car. But if you've ever watched the Tour de France on TV, and particularly if you've seen it, not on one of those terrifying hill climbs, but on the flat going through a town or a village or the countryside, you'll know that in advance of this peloton as massive cyclists sweeping through, before them goes a number of cars and motorcycles, and they're, as it were, to clear the way for the peloton coming behind. They're there saying, "Look out, the main attraction is coming." And that is something of what John the Baptist was doing. But John doesn't stop there. John made clear that he was not Elijah. He was not this great Old Testament figure that some of the Jews in their tradition thought would come back before the Messiah returned or came. Nor was he the special prophet that, again, some of the Jews thought would be the forerunner of the coming of the Messiah. Now, far from being an exceptional figure, John displays his humility by saying that someone is coming along, the thong of whose sandals he is not worthy to untie. removing the sandals off a person in that day and age was perhaps the most subservient role you could possibly have. And John said he wasn't fit to perform even that role for Jesus. The focus is on Jesus and how insignificant John considered himself to be when measured against the one for whom he was called to testify. So John's subordinate role was really to sort of say, in answer to the question, who are you? He really sort of said, well, it's not all about me. And compared with today's digital age, the bloggers and the follow-me culture of social media, John would be entirely countercultural in that message. It's when we look to Jesus, it's said, that we can find in him our true identity. And this was brought home a couple of years ago when the Archbishop of Canterbury discovered that the man that had brought him up, the man that he thought was his father, was not, in fact, his biological father. And when this came out, and there was a good deal of press interest in it, Archbishop Justin said that he found his identity not in his DNA, but in Jesus Christ. For him, his identity was not something which was a fixed given from genetics, and nor was it something which was sort of a self-created form of identity in which he independently asserted who he was. No, for the Archbishop of Canterbury, he said that what gave him his identity was being known perfectly and loved unconditionally by God. This concept of finding our identity in our relationship with Jesus Christ, where we're perfectly known and unconditionally loved by him, is the thing that gives us our security and our true freedom. When we can see that we have a safe and secure relationships with other people, whether that's with an individual or particularly in families or in community, then when those relationships are good and healthy, again, we can explore and find security and freedom. Sadly, and I move out the sun, sadly, it's not always the case that in our family relationships that we do always have that, and we know that so often there can be family breakups or domestic abuse and oppression. But in his book that he published this year, The Archbishop Reimagining Britain, he speaks of the importance of good family and household units, where there is demonstrated concepts of holiness, fidelity, hospitality, and above all, love. We value those things because God is holy. God is faithful, welcoming, and overflowing with love. And when we find them in our family or our household units, we know that there is something there that is reflecting God. They provide us with the basis in which we ourselves can be truly ourselves and flourish as individuals. Now, you may be here this morning as part of a family unit or household. I know within the rich cultural traditions of Christchurch, we have a variety of family and extended family and household units. There's a flexibility in the way that we grow up and develop within these units and within these family groups, and that is good. But what is important is that they are just demonstrating holiness and welcome and faithfulness and love. And then the people within them can experience God's love. Surrounded by that security, love, then people of all ages, from the children to our senior citizens, can develop and express their true identity, secure in the stability and the sense of community that such groups hold. That's what we strive for in our wider church family and what we strive for in our smaller connect groups, places where we can come together, find security and stability and love within our community, places we connect with God and with each other and learn more about ourselves and who we are truly meant to be. John the Baptist points to two other aspects of the nature of Jesus Christ, which can help us on our journey of self-understanding and self-discovery. One is the picture of Jesus that we see in verse 7, of Jesus as the light of the world that John came to testify about. And secondly, right at the immediately in the verse that follows our reading, in verse 29, John talks about Jesus coming towards him and declares that here is the Lamb of God. Jesus the light and Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, we need a certain courage to allow ourselves to be seen in Jesus' light, a light which shines on those things which are not from him, our selfishness, our thoughtlessness, our greed, our lack of self-control. But when we do, and when we bring ourselves before Jesus in repentance, then we can experience the forgiveness that was also part of John's message, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And as we allow Jesus' light to shine, it can also act as a light for our way, a light through the complexity and uncertainty of this world. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. It's a phrase that points to the sacrificial path that Jesus walked, a path that ultimately took him to the cross. And when we think and stand before this cross in communion this morning, we're allowing ourselves in some inexplicable way to open up ourselves to his grace and to receive from him. It's a moment in which we come before Jesus and can receive something of that sense of cleansing and liberation that comes from knowing him. That is true freedom. That is when we can truly begin to know who we are and find our identity, just as John did, in a way which is inviolate, which is unique, and which is everlasting. Amen.